Digital services. Sure, everyone wants in on the game, but is it worth it? Low margins, sellers who don't know what they're selling, local businesses who are doing it all themselves. So why do we keep talking about it? And why is this space worth hundreds of billions of dollars? Let's see if we can get to the bottom of it in this episode of the Local Marketing Trends Podcast.
Welcome to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, bringing you unique insights on the ever-changing world of local marketing from two of the industry's brightest analysts and forecasters, Corey Elliott and Gordon Burrell. Today's podcast is sponsored by Affinity X, the best and largest creator and executor of digital advertising solutions for leading ad agencies nationwide, and by The Media Audit, the most comprehensive local syndicated audience measurement in the country. And now, here are your hosts, Corey and Gordon.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Elliott, and with me, as always, Mr. Gordon Burrell.
Hey, Corey.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Did I hear you say hundreds of billions of dollars for digital services?
Billions and billions of dollars, like stars in the universe.
That qualifies as a crap ton, I guess, as you
put it. Yes. Or maybe even something more. I don't know.
Yeah, but it is interesting because you, by the way, are just embarking, for those, the benefit of those in the audience, on a deep dive, probably going dark soon, to do all of the research that we do on digital services to try to gauge those hundreds of billions of dollars are being spent, what they're being spent on, and things like that. But it's just in a really important category. It seems, Corey, we talked a little bit before the podcast on this. Just don't want to say, hey, guys, you really should be, you know, involved in digital services. Yeah. If you're an advertiser, you really should be buying them and working with them. Or if you're a seller or an ad agency, you should really be helping everybody. Everybody knows that.
Yep.
But you know what? There's a lot of people dropping out, Corey. A lot of people saying, oh, we're not going to, not advertisers, but sellers saying, oh, we're just going to go back to our O&O sales and sell banners on our websites and radio spots, TV spots.
And I think that's a dangerous precedent.
It is. And we've got a great interview in this show with the guy I've been at loggerheads with from time to time, but he's a great guy, very smart. Adam Burnham with Affinity X happens to be one of our sponsors. He's SVP of Interactive Sales and Services, and he's got a really strong, I think, opinion on digital services and what's happening out there based on a whole lot of facts and information. Well,
yeah, and let's set stuff up. Let's talk a little bit about the most recent past and why we think this is important. And then Adam can kind of set the present tone, and then we'll talk about the future after the interview. How's that sound?
I love that. Past, present, and future.
Yeah, there you go. See, in our last local advertiser survey, it was really interesting because it took place in late summer Q3 of 2020. So we asked, hey, have you used the two local advertisers? Have you used these services? Are you using them now? And will you use them in the future? Here's what I think is interesting and is important for local media companies to understand, or local marketers to understand, is SEO and SEM, 59% and 41% of local businesses use that in 2019. Then it went up to 58 and 43, respectively. And then when we asked about 2021, jumped to 62 and 50, right? So there's a trend going up, increasing. Listen to the same figures for traditional advertising, like radio, newspaper, and TV. Radio went from 48 to 42 to 37. Newspaper went from 51 to 43 to 35. TV, 21 to 17 to 16.
So they're migrating toward search and away from traditional types of media, which may not be as measurable.
Or they're pulling back, they're retracting, and the first thing they're retracting is traditional advertising, but they're keeping those dollars for digital services.
Yeah, you know what's disappointing about that is, you know, with everything we really, really know about advertising, is that it's an investment. You have to, you know, take some risk, and you have to put messages out there in places that, you know, you're just really not sure if anybody's going to see it, or it's not so targeted. But the more you advertise, the more your business tends to grow. But it's not as targeted and not as immediate response as search would be. Search is just so important. It really, really is. But it just seems to, Corey, have just this great, you know, sucking sound on media. Go, okay, we're going to take all your dollars away and we're just going to focus on, you know, delivering advertisers leads right now, right away. And diminish the quality or value of brand advertising and that consistent message, you know, think of us, think of us, think of us, not here we are, contact us, contact us, contact us.
I think the perceived effectiveness is there too. That plays a large role. It's easier for me to understand the effectiveness of an SEO campaign, an SEM campaign, than it is an ad in a, you know, on radio for a lot of advertisers.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think that the big challenge, and let's get to that interview with Adam in a minute. But I think the big challenge for quite a few media companies, as we've heard, and to some extent agencies, but I think agencies are much more comfortable selling services, is there doesn't seem to be a margin in. And that is just a lie. Maybe not a margin for them, but it's the way they're approaching it. In fact, one of the surveys that we did showed that the largest margin of everything that a media company might sell is in website design and development, a primary service, not in the O&O stuff that they're actually selling across the board. And some of these services can have really high margins. But Adam's got a great beat on it based on whole lot of research, the data that and experience that Affinity X has. So, Corey, let's get to that interview right after this.
Affinity X is a trusted partner among leading digital marketing agencies. They can help you retain and grow your customer base with a complete product and service solution. Turn fixed costs into variable cost with a trusted outsourced partner. Scale your business with quicker turn times and flawless delivery. Reduced costs and improve margins. Affinity X is unmatched in experience, solutions, and technology that drives results. They can help your agency thrive in the increasingly competitive digital marketing landscape. Visit them at affinityx.com to learn more. Celebrating 50 years of experience, the Media Audit provides advertisers, agencies, and media companies with consumer insights in more than 80 markets. The Media Audit provides you with an edge in a highly competitive marketplace, helping you quantify customer trends by tying them to what's happening in your market. Learn more and schedule a demo. Visit themediaaudit.com. That's themediaaudit.com.
Okay, I've got with me Adam Burnham, who is a friend. We've been connected, Adam, on LinkedIn, I know, for 10 years, but I think probably maybe 15 or more years we've known each other.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Adam,
it's been a while. Good to talk to you, Gordon.
You're SVP of Interactive Sales and Services at Affinity X. First, let's tell the audience a little bit about yourself, family background, what you wanted to do when you grew up, how you got a degree from one of the greatest journalism schools in the country, Mizzou, and then how the hell you went right into ad sales.
Yeah, those are all good questions. So I'm a St. Louis guy, born and raised pretty much here my whole life. I'm currently married, just got remarried, have 7 kids between the two of us. We have a large flock of children. I chose to go to Mizzou because of clearly the locality of it, but the journalism school being the best in the country. And they have a number of different sequences in the J school. So one of those was advertising as a sequence. And that's where I basically went through to get my, you know, education. When I was graduating, I was going to go work at an ad agency, and ad agencies didn't pay anything. So I needed to make some money. So I went to work for a local newspaper where I could make some more money, and the rest is history. But, great school. Love being in Missouri, and I'm back in St. Louis after traveling around for my career over the last 25 years.
Yeah, and I really admire that. You know, going from journalism or understanding that aspect of the business and going into ad sales is so important. I did that myself in college. I was a writer first, and then I became editor-in-chief of the college newspaper and had to run the whole business aspect of it. And it's just really great for particularly the newspaper industry, but for any industry to know those sides of the business. So let's talk about Affinity X. I'm so impressed by the company itself. And you guys have been around for a while, and you basically kind of crush some of the costs and expenses and inefficiencies of running a business. So tell me about Affinity X. How big is the company? When was it founded? Who are the clients?
Yeah, so the company in the current iteration was founded in about 2002, although it's well over 30 years old historically with doing some business with logo embroidery and vectorization and things like that. But the current iteration was founded in 2002. We've got about 2,500 employees. We are global. So we have, you know, office locations in the US and overseas and India and the Philippines and Serbia. We generally work with channel partners. Our client roster can include anywhere from local media companies to large internet pure plays, like a GoDaddy or a web.com or a Vistaprint, and ad agencies. Those are generally the groups we're working with. You're right. We do offer a number of different services and solutions. When I joined the company in 2013, the goal was to sort of build a digital business. There really wasn't a lot they were doing digitally at the time. I would had recently left Media News Group or Digital First Media, running digital there, and came on board to sort of start and build something from scratch. And we've had tremendous success on doing that. In fact, when I came to the company, about 5% of the revenue was coming from digital services. And today, 65% of the revenue comes from digital services. So we're one of the largest in the world at providing digital marketing services. And we do it across the globe, primarily for English-speaking support. But we do a little in some other languages too now.
That's cool. You know, a lot of companies are really, really in need of sort of, I guess, getting a little more organization around selling digital services. I think everybody fumbled into it maybe 10 or 12 years ago saying, wow, we can really do SEO or we can do website design. And these are media companies that the process of selling was fairly simple. Let's sell banner ads on our O&O sites. And then, okay, let's serve them with these other needs because we can. Let's talk about the media companies in particular. We're finding a lot of them just can't really deal with selling other people's inventory through services, whether it's audience extension and SEM and Facebook advertising, things like that. And they're retrenching. We've just seen that. That's not for us. There's low margins in it. So I guess the question is, we always look at this and go, well, you know, we think they should be in it, but hell, we're not out there day-to-day selling it. So from your opinion, from what you see, Adam, should they be abandoning these what could be lower margin products, these services, for more profitable products?
100% they should not be. You know, there's a lot of ways to look at this and a lot of ways to sort of pick your perspective on how you approach it. But at the end of the day, for most media companies, you are the local feet on the street in the market offering marketing solutions. Yes, you're competing with more local agencies, you're competing with other local media companies, but you're that local business's, you know, marketing expert. So I've always had the perspective of you want to sell things to those businesses that they want to buy. And those businesses want to buy search engine marketing. They want to buy Facebook and social. They want to target people in a way utilizing all the data opportunities that exist out there. If you're not offering those options, somebody else will. Now, the unique perspective you bring to the table is you can craft those solutions with your proprietary owned and operated products, whether that's radio or TV or newspaper or cable. By putting those things together, that's really your opportunity to differentiate. Yes, if you're selling Facebook, someone else is selling Facebook, you might not have a ton of differentiation, but Facebook with your local print campaign, utilizing the print or the newspaper's Facebook channel as a way to enhance that. The way you're going to make margin is to find the most efficient way to do things. And that's one of the things Affinity has been really great at, is we put foundational processes in place that allows things to be repeatable and efficient. And because we do things in a more efficient way, we generally are able to save people money, which allows them to generate more profitability off of some of these products. Nobody's going to make a ton of money selling pay-per-click. That's not going to happen, but it's table stakes and gets you in the door. And you have to have a plan of how you migrate that advertiser through the entire product funnel along the customer journey, pay-per-click being a piece of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say thanks, by the way, for being a sponsor and also for being on the show. We just love to have sponsors that are really offering something relevant to the audience. But let me stick with me on this problem first before we go to something else. Sure. Why do you think people are abandoning? And I don't want to say loads of people are doing it, but it seems like a lot of them have just really retrenched and said, yeah, we can't do that. Why is that?
I think it's just because they look at the profitability and they're not giving things enough time. That's the first thing, you know. Coming from the newspaper business, I know when we tried things, we tried to fail fast and move on, and sometimes failing fast and this kind of business where you don't really have a ton of carnal knowledge. You're not necessarily a native in the business and you're trying to figure it out. So I think you've got to give longevity to actually give time to build the business. And that's going to build more value in your organization. And you also have to make sure you have the right people and the right expertise. You know, there's constant, and Gordon, we were on a panel 15 years ago, I think, or 10 years ago, arguing about, direct digital sellers versus, you know, multimedia sellers.
I remember that. You pissed me off on that panel. I remember that. And you know what? I think in the end, I'm sure if you're going to admit this, I think I was right.
Unfortunately, I have to admit you were right.
There you go.
Direct digital sellers.
Well, I remember I didn't know who you were. And, you know, I said something and I said something brilliant. At least I thought it was like brilliant, you know, and it's kind of lean. You say so, you kind of lean in, you say something, you lean back. And I looked over at you and you just were shaking your head. And you go, no, Gordon, he's like full of shit. I don't think you said that, but it sort of came off. But it was great. It made
I think actually I did say that.
Let me go back to the topic. The profitability issue, you know, what we're seeing when people say, no, there isn't enough profitability in selling services, we kind of shake our heads because the best practice companies that we see have fairly high margins, particularly in search engine optimization, reselling that, they market up 50%, and website design and development. What are you seeing in terms of margins for these services? Is it true? Is there a higher margin? And maybe put some meat on that.
Yeah. So we generally go into these engagements where we're working with partners and we do look at all the products. We have a ton of data. So we, you know, we run tens of thousands of campaigns every month. So we have a pretty good perspective of the products and services that are working by industry and by geography and by spend category. So we put together an analysis that shows here's your current revenue, here's where we think the revenue will grow to, and here's the profitability that exists. For the most part, our partners are going to be in the high 40s, mid 50% margins by working with us.
Are they different for different products like SEO? Can you give me examples? SEO, website design, Facebook posts, things like that.
Sure. Product specific, yeah, they're going to be different for different products. So like on the programmatic side, you're going to be over 50, 60%. For Facebook, if you're on a management fee structure, you're going to be in that 30-ish percent range. SEO, you can be 40%. Pay-per-click, you're going to be 15, 20%. It really depends on the blend of what you want to sell. But by mixing in or including, like you mentioned earlier, selling your ads on your website, that comes at a much higher margin. So the inclusion of that also can help drive better performance. And if you're utilizing first-party data on your owned and operated site, you can be very competitive with targeting capabilities that you can on third party. But yeah, the range of margins do differ by product. And when we blend those together based off what we see as the historical trends of where advertisers are putting their money, you're going to see something in the 40s to 50s.
Wow, that is fantastic. Just quickly, because we only got a couple of minutes left, but when you look ahead short term and look ahead long term for me. So short term first, as we climb out of the pandemic, what excites you most?
Well, I think that we all have to understand that consumer behavior is going to change. I mean, we have been working and living in this digital age for quite some time, but over the last 18 months, the behavior of people they've learned to do things that they never did before, how they engage and shop online, how they are using, you know, digital differently today. So we all need to adjust to the consumer behavior. Just because the pandemic is ending doesn't mean that everybody's just going to flock and go back to doing things the way they did it before. There will be a change. So how do you prepare your advertisers, your business to support that change? There's a number of new product solutions that are coming that already are out there that we're utilizing that are very interesting. You know, the growth in digital out of home, the growth in programmatic audio, the utilization of OTT and connected TV, being able to track attribution across all those different products. Those are things that will help, you know, drive interest in sales by engaging with audiences differently.
That's
how you're utilizing your website, how you're utilizing third-party sites like that. That's something that I think is really interesting and exciting, but you've got to be prepared to make that change.
If that,
you think
that attribution,
the way you did it,
yeah, that attribution is going to be really important. And specifically with OTT and with audio, those new things coming on board, you're absolutely right about that. So quickly, we got about 30 seconds. What's things look like in 2030? I mean, that's pretty far ahead. So, you know, are things dramatically different? Is everybody selling services? Do we have just a few small companies, you know, out there that are, you know, just running things, or maybe a couple of big companies? Is there a big fallout, newspapers, radio, TV? You know, what's your crystal ball look like?
I think it could be any combination of those things. I go back to what I said before, like if you're representing the local feet on the street to provide services in your market, the transition of products you sell is always going to be evolving. You know, what you sold 2 years ago is different than what you're going to sell today. You know, you're talking, you know, 9 years from now. I mean, it could be completely different. There'll be all different kinds of channels and opportunities. But I do think the engagement with the consumer and how you, you know, how you are attracting that audience is going to be critical, and you have to move with that audience. I do think there'll be further consolidation within media companies for sure. But I still think if you are the lifeblood of that locality, that hyper-local, you know, news organization or sales organization, there's still a big place and a big part for you to play in the future. You know, Google doesn't have a local sales force for a reason, because they rely on all of these media companies and agencies to sell for them. I don't see them changing that model.
Yeah, I see the same thing. I see one or two big dominant players in the market and a lot of small, maybe has-beens, unfortunately. Anyway, Adam, thanks. Time is going by very quickly. I really appreciate your insights. Thanks for the friendship all these years. And thanks again for sponsoring, Adam. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for the conversation, Gordon. Talk to you soon.
Another great interview, Gordon. I really like your style, I got to tell you. But I have a question for you. We're all dying to know what you argued about. He admitted you were right on something, and that doesn't happen so often. Ooh. So I was wondering what it was.
Yeah, it was one of those weird things, because it was just like one of those moments where you look at the guy and he's looking at you and you go, he was thinking the same thing. It was early on. It was probably 2005 or 2006. And we were at some conference. I don't know what the heck it was. And we're on a panel. And he dared to disagree with the great one. but I was, you know, I was my usual arrogant self, you know, and just said, you know, it's just going to fail unless you have completely separate sellers, or you won't move along as far as you can. And I think he was with Media News Group at the time, and he respectfully disagreed, but did it in a way that, and it was good. It was good theater. You know, that's what you really want on the panel. But he remembered it, and I remembered it, and I thought, right, he'll be proven wrong in time. And I was right.
Yeah. Well, what should local media companies or agencies do?
Well, you know, I equate it to a car service station. And that is, you look at these service stations, and these guys are going to tell you, the mechanics, you know, whether your car sucks and you should buy a different one, or, you know, they'll give you great advice. But if when you look at a car dealership, they also have a pretty significant, and they've grown in the past couple of years, service component. And it may be mildly profitable, but not wildly profitable. And it's much more profitable to sell a new car. But what they're doing is they're holding their clients, their customers, close by giving them free oil changes and telling them, you know, it's time for a tune-up, or it's time for this or that to maintain the warranty. It's the same thing with digital services. You may not want to do it. You may want to really sell cars, right? You want to sell advertising, but it's required for keeping the conversation going with the customer. And it's, you know, they might buy a car every 7 years or something like that, but they're going to need that car serviced once, maybe twice a year, you know, for an oil change or a tune-up or something like that. So it just maintains the contact with the advertiser. And like I said in the interview, and Adam said as well, there are high margins in it.
Yeah, there are high margins in it if done right. And I think another aspect of it that we're, and it's a different way of saying what you're saying, is the marketing expertise. Because if you think about it, if I'm a local advertiser, I don't need to buy any digital services from anyone. I can go online and get this all myself. But the one thing that I can't leverage, or probably can't leverage, is that overall arching marketing knowledge of how all of these things play together.
Yeah. And there's so many questions that come with this stuff, because they're taking on, advertisers are taking on these tasks themselves. And they don't quite have the experience. So they're going to be asking questions. There's your opportunity to educate. They're not going to need to ask a lot of questions about, you know, a radio spot, a direct mail piece, things like that. It's well known. It's been around for, you know, decades or ages in a lot of cases. But, you know, here's one thing I found in the recent survey we did. We haven't released the results yet, but these are service, or these are media managers. I can't release too many details of it, but listen to this. We asked them if they had confidence in digital marketing services, in the effectiveness of the products that they were selling. So SEO and website design. Just the products, okay. Digital services products, social media management. 91% said they were confident in the effectiveness of those products.
Okay.
74% said they had confidence in the competency of the sales staff. So in terms of effectiveness of the product, 32% said they were extremely effective, those digital services products. 4% said their sales staff was competent in selling them.
Ooh.
Isn't that just amazing?
Yeah.
And here's the real kicker on it. We asked them, you know, what type of training is needed across all different types of things. Number one was training on digital services. And then here it is. what experience is most needed when that critical task of recruiting a salesperson comes along? Is it the length of experience they have in sales? Is it a college diploma? Is it experience with competitors? Is it existing relationships with ad buyers? Or is it experience selling digital services? Ding, 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 ding. Experience selling digital services blew the others out of the water. So people are aware that, that's really important in recruiting people. And they're also aware that, wow, they're deficient in their ability to sell these services.
So let's wrap it up, but let's bring it all the way home. Because in 2005, when you were up on stage, y'all were talking about digital advertising versus traditional advertising and you know, this crazy thing called the internets. And you advocated a separate salesperson. Now, with digital services, hundreds of billions of dollars, is that a third person? Is that a second person? Or can one person do all of this?
The industry will strongly disagree with me. And again, give them a few years, I'll be right. And it's this. There is never, ever, ever, never have never, ever seen a case, and we'll never see a case, where an existing staff selling one core product will be successful in getting a significant share selling a second core product. Now, they may try to flip and make that secondary core product the core product, and then they'll drop the ball on the other one, the one that used to be the core product. You need a separate staff. It is a separate product. The industry doesn't have the money to do it. They're not getting approval to hire extra staff. Some are, but nobody's ever going to really do it unless they completely separate those organizations. It's just, they'll get some money, it'll be incremental growth, but they'll never be all they can be without having someone who doesn't basically get paid unless they sell that one product. And they're actually going to help you reach out to completely new customers, not just incrementally upsell something to your current customer base, by the way, eroding sales in your core product artificially.
Oh, man, we could have a whole nother show just about this because I could argue the other point. And a gauntlet has been thrown by Mr. Burrell, but we need to wrap this up, Gordon.
Okay. I don't want to discuss this any further. I'm done with the discussion. I'm right. I'm going to continue to be right. We can discuss the finer nuances of it, but it's a matter of what your company is capable of doing. And I'm sorry, a lot of companies are not capable of understanding that long history of disruptive innovation and how separate staffs are just going to be vitally important to becoming a high achiever.
For a man who is done talking about it, he went on for another minute. Okay.
Thanks for pointing that out.
All right, Gordon.
Thank you. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, sponsored by AffinityX and the Media Audit. If you have submissions or ideas for future shows, or if you'd like to be a guest, email the hosts at podcast@burrellassociates.com. Thanks for listening. And remember, market well.